This podcast is brought to you by copyblogger.com. Words that work. Build your online authority with powerfully effective content marketing. Get superior content marketing education so you can build a remarkable online presence. Head over to copyblogger.com to learn more. That's copyblogger.com.
Hey everybody, I'm excited to have my friend Tara McMullen on the Copy Blogger podcast today to talk about her 4.5 years of podcasting experience, about her podcasting production company, and about how she uses her podcast to drive growth in her business. Tara, thanks for being on the show with me today.
I am so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So Tara, you've been podcasting for about 4.5 years. Give me just a brief backstory on the podcast, because it actually has a pretty interesting genesis story.
Yeah. So podcasting was something that was always really interesting to me, but the barrier to entry seemed really high. Now I know that that's not true now. It wasn't even true then, but it seemed really overwhelming and mysterious at the time. But I could see the podcast market starting to really pick up. I was enjoying podcasts more and more, and it was sort of a game that I wanted to play, right? I wanted to get in on this. So at the time that I had that realization, I was doing a lot of work with a company called Creative Live, and I have a whole catalog of video courses on their site on everything from marketing to hiring to building a community. And we had done a lot of work together. I had a great audience with them, had super great rapport with their producers and their marketing team. And so I had this crazy idea. Why not see if they'll go in on a podcast with me, take my audience and their audience and what they do best and what I do best and put it all together in audio content, because they were owning video, but they didn't have any audio content. And I thought, this is perfect. And what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to say no to me. So I wrote the email and immediately got a response. Oh yeah, let's talk about this. This sounds really good. Can you fly to Seattle next week?
I was like, yes,
absolutely. So we co-developed the podcast initially, and you know, just really thinking about what we wanted to cover, who we wanted to talk to, how the show could evolve over time, how it was going to help them, how it was going to help me, who would do what. And so it took us a couple of months to get things started and off the ground. But we launched a podcast called Profit Power Pursuit about 4.5 years ago together. I was doing the interviews and mostly kind of in charge of the creative vision behind it. And then they helped me out with the editing and sort of the admin side of the production and uploading it and, you know, doing all the things that we have to do as podcasters. And so that was a great partnership, and I worked really closely with them on that. But as time went on, it became clearer and clearer to both of us that they didn't really know how to leverage the podcast for their own marketing purposes. And while I felt pretty good about leveraging the podcast for my marketing purposes, I always felt a little like I had to be careful. Like I had to be really cautious about how I used the show, because we were supposed to be co-producing and co-marketing this show together. So in April of 2018, I reached out to them again on a whim, not on a whim, but like thinking, what's the worst that could happen? And I said, hey guys, this doesn't seem to be working great for you. You don't know what to do with this. This is working okay for me, but I know I can do better. What would it take for me to take over sole ownership of the podcast? And we went back and forth a little bit, but they were incredibly generous. And in the end, basically handed everything over and said, good luck. It's been amazing working with you. And I said, great. It's been amazing working with you too. We quickly rebranded the show to what it is today, which is called What Works. And from that moment on, I got real serious about podcasting. I loved podcasting from the moment we started the show. But having sole ownership of the show really let my strategic brain go wild with, you know, how can we better use this for marketing purposes? How can we better use this for sales purposes? What kind of content do I really want to have on the show? What is this show really about? And, you know, those were questions I had been asking myself the whole time we were running things, but now I had a new sense of ownership and direction over it. And so the show has evolved over the last 2 years, but it has kind of, it's continued on that same path that we sort of set out on as soon as we went out on our own. So that's the briefest I think I can make that story.
Yeah, I love it. And what changed about the podcast, or give me some of the nuggets here of what changed about the podcast from when it was with Creative Live to your solo? Like, how did the premise of the show change in that period of time?
Yeah. So I've gotten lots of feedback from listeners that, you know, they love the new direction of the show. And what's funny is that in my mind, the direction of the show hasn't actually changed that much, but the way we talk about it has changed, and the way we communicate the direction of the show and the mission behind the show and the premise behind the show has changed. So at the beginning, the premise was essentially to talk to creative business owners about how they run things, about the mindset behind their business, about what it's like to be on the inside of the companies that they run. And I talked to all sorts of different kinds of people with very large businesses, I guess technically still small businesses, but very large small businesses, and people with much smaller companies. And we talked about wide ranging things in every interview. There were kind of a few different points that I tried to hit with everyone. And over time, that was great. And that was kind of how we started. And it was very much still like looking kind of behind the scenes. But over time, I realized that the interviews that I loved the most, the conversations that I loved the most, and the ones that I thought were the most valuable were the ones that were really hyper-targeted, the ones that we had a clear angle on, and we took a deep dive on just one thing. And so over the 2 years that we were producing the show with Creative Live, we started moving things in that direction. And I started getting clearer that when I asked someone to be on the show, I was asking them to be on the show for a very specific reason, not just because I thought they were cool or because they had a great pitch or because I was curious about how they did X, Y, or Z. I wanted to have that person on the show to illustrate a specific aspect of how a business could run. And that was great. And that's essentially the pivot point that we took, that we used to create What Works from Profit Power Pursuit. So we kept that same idea that the people we were going to have on the show were going to come in and do a deep dive with us on what works for them. From there, we've evolved the content strategy behind that quite a bit. So the premise is the same, but the way we represent that premise with our content has evolved. So now it's not just who do I want to have on the show and what do I want to talk to them about. Now we structure everything so that we produce in 4 to 8 episode series. So like this month, we're running a series on leadership. Last month, we ran a series on project management. Next month is on brand building. And I actually source guests to talk about specific aspects of how they do what they do within that theme. So it's sort of, the premise has stayed very much, it's had a like very clear through line, but the sophistication behind it has evolved immensely. So that when we're crafting our content strategy, we're really thinking about how can we tell a story that really delivers something new and unique to our listeners, and not just like, who do we want to have on the show, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I think when people think about starting a podcast, the easiest way to get into it is just thinking of who can I interview and what can we talk about? And what you're doing is you're flipping it on your head a little bit and creating a different content strategy, which I think is really mature. Like, and I think it's probably taken you the 3.5-4 years to get to that point to understand that this is a better way of approaching it. But if you're talking to somebody who is either just starting a podcast, wanting to start a podcast, or is wanting to mature their understanding of content strategy to what you're talking about here, give us some ideas about where to start or how to start thinking about it in this kind of upside down way.
Yeah. So this is where kind of rethinking how we approach the way a podcast fits into a business comes into play. So I'll get to how to construct the content strategy in a second. But I think first, it's really important to realize that that there are certain assumptions we have about podcasting that may not be true. And one of them, and this one is an assumption that I had literally until about January of last year, so January 2019, my assumption was that my podcast was a discovery channel for me. It was the top of my sales funnel. It's how people were going to find out about me, my company, and what we do. And from there, I could move them through a sales funnel. I could get them on my email list, and then from my email list, I could get them on a webinar, or I could sell directly to them from the email list. And last January, I really started to question that. I thought, you know, these people are investing an hour, 2 hours a week in listening to this show. They're hearing my voice and our perspective in their heads, you know, for hours every month. What if they don't need to be warmed up anymore? What if this isn't the top of my sales funnel? What if this is actually the best sales tool that I have? So I started to test that hypothesis essentially and realized that it was true. That yes, people can find out about us through the podcast and it can serve that discovery function, but they don't need to go anywhere else. If they hear an offer on the podcast, they are very likely to buy it. So that's what brings me back to content strategy. So the way we construct our content strategy and the way we work with clients, whether they're starting up or kind of evolving a show that they already have, is to work backwards from what they're selling. So one of the first questions we ask is, what are you selling? When are you selling it? So we want to know, how does your business model work and what kind of marketing and sales campaigns are you planning throughout the next year or so? From there, then we work backwards. All right, so this is your product. What are the kinds of questions that are important to someone who is considering purchasing this product? What are the pain points that they have? What are the things they've already tried? What are the solutions that they're looking for? And how can we use that to inspire our podcast content? So that's how we kind of draw out what the topics and the angles for individual episodes need to be. And then from there, we can actually go and say, okay, this episode is going to be about this episode is going to be about that. And if it's an interview show, then we can actually go and source guests that fit those topics or have an interesting story to tell about those topics. I'm a huge fan of working backwards in almost everything. Like, I always want to start with my goal. I always want to start with where I want to end up, right? The destination. And then I'm going to plot my route back from that. And so while the content strategy that we use today has been this very long process of becoming more mature and more sophisticated with how we approach what's going to go on the show, it's actually extremely accessible too, because it's the kinds of things that we've been doing with written content, email content, video content for forever. And we just haven't been applying it to podcasting for the most part. And so I think people actually have these skills already, and they just need to think about their podcast in a different way to be able to apply it in a way that drives results better through the podcast.
I love it. I think the backwards thinking is, if I could give one piece of advice to every business owner, it's the backwards thinking. Like, think from the end of mind and come backwards. And I love that you've done it for your business. I want to drill into this a little bit. Like, would you be willing to peel back how you think about this in your own business, like the product that you sell specifically, and then how you get to that content strategy piece? Like, I love this in theory, but it would be super helpful if we could see exactly how it works in somebody's business.
Yes, absolutely. So first I'll say that our product, or the relationship between our podcast and our product, is pretty meta, but we also create campaigns that are much more specific too. So the meta connection between the podcast and our product is that we run a membership community called the What Works Network, where our goal is to facilitate candid conversations between small business owners, things that they wouldn't talk about anywhere else, maybe not even in Facebook groups, because you feel like, oh gosh, I don't know who's here. I don't know who's listening. Like, what if I say something stupid? Like, we want to be the place where people can say something stupid. stupid, right? Or they can share something about what's working in their business that they wouldn't want to share anywhere else. So we ask those kinds of questions. We get really nitty gritty. We get really nerdy. We talk about mindset stuff. We talk about process stuff. And so the value proposition behind our product is the same then as the value proposition behind our podcast. We think of them as different levels of service, right? The podcast is free and we decide everything that happens on it. Whereas with our membership community, it's not free, but you get greater control and greater participation in the conversations that actually happen. So that's the first tie-in, is that we try and make our value proposition match as closely between the podcast and our product as possible. And we do that with our clients as well. So really thinking about, you know, how does the value proposition and the premise of the show match up or complement the value proposition or premise of the product or program or coaching package that you're offering. So that's the first piece of it. Then the second piece of it for us is that we sell our membership community in 4 enrollment periods every year. And those enrollment periods are based around an event that we host every quarter called our virtual conferences. They're day-long live events where our community gathers in a crowdcast room. And I do essentially a series of extra interviews throughout the day where our membership can participate in those events. They're very fun. It's a great conversation starter for our community and just a great way for people to get to know each other. Those virtual conferences match up with the content that we're covering on the podcast. And I should say too, at this point, that our editorial calendar for our community and the editorial calendar for our podcast are one and the same. So we're actually covering the same content on both sides of the equation. So when we were talking about project management back in January on the podcast, we were talking about project management in the community as well. And it informs those two things. But for the virtual conference, where we're actually going to open the doors and try and get people to join and try and get new members excited about this event, because we know if they're excited about the event, if they participate in the event, they're going to stick around and be members for a very long time. So we lead up to those events with a series of content that's all about those events, so that when I chime in with a call to action in the middle of an interview and I say, hey, are you loving this content on building your brand? Are you loving finding out how to tell a better story about what you do, about how to use user feedback to evolve your brand? Come join us for our virtual conference on brand building. So there's a complete tie between the conversation I'm having on the podcast and that behind the scenes look that we're having of someone else's business, and another level of content and participation and conversation that can happen inside of our product. So the pitch feels really natural. So we, in terms of the planning part of that, we plan that out actually a year in advance. Back in October, we actually planned out all of 2020. So we know what is happening every single month, both in our community and on the podcast, for this entire year. And I can construct the content then so that each time we're having rolling into a sales period, that sales period feels like a natural extension of what we do on the podcast every week. Does that make sense?
Makes total sense. I want to dig into this idea, the value proposition of your business and the premise of your show matching up.
Yeah.
My guess is that people who haven't thought through this maybe have a hard time understanding what the value proposition of their business is, therefore having a hard time understanding the premise of their podcast. Do you have a framework to how to understand value props and premise of a show? Like how we can go from like seeing you do this to like figuring this out for ourselves?
Yeah. So there's a resource that I use with everyone that I just absolutely love. And the best part is it's completely free and all you have to do is Google for it. So the Harvard Business Review published this article, I don't know how many years ago now, it is nowhere near new, called The 30 Elements of Value. And it's a study that Bain did on what makes up value propositions. What are the common elements that every value proposition has And they came up with 30 different things. And it's kind of arranged in almost like a Maslow's hierarchy of needs kind of way. It doesn't completely match up to that, but it's a very similar concept where at the bottom of a pyramid, there are all these functional forms of value, things like simplifying, making things cost less, making things more convenient, removing hassles, all those kind of functional needs. I'm not going to remember what every tier is called, but as you move up the pyramid, it becomes less tangible and a little bit more philosophical till you get to the very top of the pyramid. And it's like self-transcendence is the top of the pyramid. Don't base your value proposition on that, by the way. And so whenever I'm thinking about clarifying, what is this product really about? What is this business really about? What are we promising to them? Which is essentially what a value proposition is. I literally go back to this article. So it's got at least every month I go back to this article and pull it up, whether it's for me or it's for a member or it's in a mastermind group that I'm facilitating, and pull this up and start looking at these ideas of what is actually valuable. So for us, our biggest point of value is access. And that falls pretty close down to the bottom of the pyramid of this 30 elements of value. So access is what's most important. And that should make sense, you know, with having a membership community and sort of like a subscription community-based business model, access is key. You're literally paying for access. So we talk about our value proposition in terms of access to candid conversations about what's really working to run and grow a small business today. That's our promise. And so with that, that's easy to translate to the podcast because we can do both in both of those different areas. For someone else, it might like simplify is a great one. Simplify is one of the functional elements of value. It's one that so many different businesses kind of deliver on or aim to deliver on. And that's another one where you might have an online course, you might have a coaching program, you might be a consultant, and a huge part of your job might be simplifying whatever it is that you do for your clients. Like, for instance, my bookkeepers. bookkeeping is scary for a lot of people. It seems really complicated. A bookkeeper's value proposition, a huge piece of that is going to be simplifying your business finances, right? And so if a bookkeeping firm came to me and said, hey, Tara, we want to start a podcast. You know, what we do is really help people organize their numbers and just make it a lot less overwhelming. Okay, great. So your value proposition is you help them simplify business finances. That's what the podcast is going to be about as well. And every episode you're going to take something that feels complicated and messy and overwhelming, and you're going to distill it down to its most basic pieces so that it's as simple as possible. And by the end of that podcast episode, people are going to walk away with a better understanding of something that initially felt really complex to them. And maybe you start out and you're only doing it with bookkeeping, but then you start to branch out. Maybe you add in a little bit of legal and you add in a little bit of accounting, and you start to go into those tangential areas, but everything still comes back to simplifying things, taking what is complicated and making it a lot more simple. So you can literally do that with any of these different elements of value to better understand the value proposition behind your business or your product, and then translate that to the content and the value proposition and premise behind your podcast.
That's great. You have an amazing article that I've read through now a few times about the premise of the podcast. And I want to dive a little bit deeper in here. And thank you for the HBR article. We're going to link to that in the show notes. But talk to me about the premise. Like, I think we understand what that means on a high level if we just understand what the word premise means. But you really dive deep into what it means to have a premise for a podcast. Dig in here with me a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So one thing that is different about a podcast from having a blog or even an email newsletter or a YouTube channel even is that we tend to think about like, okay, what article am I going to write for my blog? What do my readers need to read from me this week? Or what am I going to send out an email this week? Or what video is going to help me rank better in the YouTube algorithm? But podcasts work in a really different way. They don't work on a piece by piece basis. Because it's a subscription based medium, you're not so much hooking people on an individual episode, you're hooking people on the idea behind your show. And so the idea behind your show is the premise. And a blog can certainly have a premise, and I would argue a blog should have a premise, and you would probably agree with me, I think. A YouTube channel should have a premise, but we don't think of it in that terms because, you know, people will find your YouTube video just because they've searched for something, right? And so you are actually trying to hook them based on a single episode. Same thing with a blog. You're sending that over social. People are searching for it. You're hooking them with a single episode. But the way discovery works with podcasting more often than not is that people are looking for recommendations for shows, or they're browsing through shows. And so you land on a new show and you see a description of that show. And based on that description, or at least informed in a huge way by that description, you decide whether you're going to browse through the episodes and see if there's one you want to invest your time in. So with that, podcasting is much more like, say, selling a TV show to a network, right? If you imagine yourself having an idea for a TV show and then walking into a production meeting where you're trying to sell it to a network, you're going to talk about the premise of the show, whether it's kind of like a docuseries kind of thing, or it's a sitcom. You have to sell it based on what it's about, not on any individual episode. At that point, the producers don't care about the individual episodes. They care if people are going to tune in week after week after week. That's where the money is. And it's the same thing with podcasting. So that's why we really have to get clear on what this show is about, why it exists, and how it's different from what else is out there. Because while really, podcasting is still a wide open field, there are also a ton of podcasts. And so how you set up your premise to be different from other shows in your field is going to help it get noticed, but it's also going to reinforce the positioning behind your business as well. So essentially, your premise is just why someone's going to want to tune into your show week after week after week. And that boils down to the topic that you're exploring and how you're exploring it differently from other people.
Okay, so talk to me about the differentiation factor then. How do you make sure that your premise is different from other people?
Research. So you've got to listen to other shows. I am appalled by the number of people who want to start a podcast who don't listen to podcasts, or they don't listen to podcasts in their field. You can't do that. You have to listen to other podcasts in your field, at least while you're getting your show off the ground. And then again, every so often, to make sure you're not missing anything. So if you want to launch a podcast, I would highly recommend just going into the category listings in the category that you're going to want to see your show pop up in. So, you know, for me, my show is in, for Apple Podcasts, it's business, and then entrepreneurship is the subcategory. So it's important for me to go into that entrepreneurship subcategory and look at the top 100 podcasts and say, all right, what are they doing? All right, we're all talking about entrepreneurship in one way or another. How is, how's Pat Flynn talking about it differently than I talk about it? How is Shailene Johnson talking about it differently than I talk about it? How's Daryl talking about it differently than I talk about it, or how I want to talk about it? So you got to listen, you got to do your research. And as you're listening, you want to be thinking about, like, what do I really like about these shows? What is it that is drawing me in? What's exciting? What kind of boxes are they ticking for me? And then what do I hear that's missing? What questions are they not asking? What are they avoiding? What do they not seem interested in? And do I think there's a need for those questions? Would I like to know the answer to those questions? And if the answer is yes, then that is a key area that you can start to differentiate in. So I'll give you the example of how I came up with my difference. I loved, and still do, listening to business podcasts, and I listen to all sorts of them. And I noticed over and over and over again that the business podcasts that I was listening to primarily were bringing on experts. And those experts would essentially teach on what, you know, kind of like what I'm doing right now. they would talk about their area of expertise, give kind of a sneak peek, give some actionable takeaways for people, explain how some things work. And it was great. And I loved that. And I was always curious to find out how people actually implemented those things, right? And I just wasn't finding a show that was like that. with the exception of one, and that's my good friend Claire Pelletreau. She has a show called Get Paid. And so Claire would really deep dive with people about how they get paid, what their business model looks like, what their packages look like, what their pricing looks like. And I loved this, but she was the only one at that time that I could see doing that. And she took an extended hiatus when her daughter was born. And so I was like, not only is there only one of these shows that I want to hear, now there's zero of these shows that I want to hear. That's what my show needs to be about. I want my show to be about real business owners really implementing this stuff and telling me what actually worked for them and what didn't work for them. And so that's how our premise got born. But you can take that and replicate that same process in any category by simply asking yourself, what questions aren't being asked here? What stories aren't being told here? So you can follow, you can still follow a broader topic or a broader theme for your show, but really differentiate it by saying, I'm going to go after this angle that's underrepresented in my category.
This is awesome. Super clear. I can imagine, and I even feel this a little bit myself, like getting a little overwhelmed here. Like, okay, like I've got to figure all this stuff out before I can even start my show or like, and there may be like this analysis paralysis that would happen in this moment. Like what kind of suggestions do you have if we're starting to feel overwhelmed trying to figure all this stuff out for our show?
Yes. So I'm really glad that you brought this up because I get really excited about it. And then it does get really overwhelming for people. The secret here is that it's a constant evolution. So I do think it's important to come up with a strategy for your show before you actually start producing it. Don't decide to have a podcast today and then produce an episode tomorrow and get it up on iTunes by the weekend. Because you could do that. Like it is, it doesn't have to be a slow process, but if you're doing this for your business, it deserves a little space to breathe. It deserves some forethought, and it deserves a plan. And it does not have to be the bestest plan you've ever written. It doesn't have to be the most forethought you've ever given something. And you certainly don't have to put the pressure on yourself to get it right out of the gate. Podcasting, I think, just like blogging or emailing, is something that you get a feel for over time. So yes, understand what the value proposition is behind your show. Understand what the premise is behind your show. But whatever you come up with for those things, that's your opening volley. Like this is my opening hypothesis on what my show is going to be about and how it's going to be different. And over time, in the process of creating content, you will figure out whether that premise and value proposition is true and right and good and supporting your business in the way you need it to be supported, or you'll find out things need to evolve. And the wonderful thing about podcasting is that the evolution just feels so natural. You know, you can decide with this interview or this episode, I'm going to try this different thing and see how it lands. I want to see how it feels for me. I want to see how it feels for my listeners. And that over time, as you gather that feedback, both internal and external, you can evolve your premise and evolve the value proposition, evolve your content strategy so that it does get more sophisticated, more mature, but that it doesn't hold you back from actually getting started in the first place.
I love this. Tara, this has been super, super helpful. I have loved this conversation because it's super practical in, you know, not just how easy it is to get a podcast started, but how to actually see results from the podcast and the efforts that we're putting forth in this type of medium. Thank you so much for being on the show. I want to have you back at some point. I'm kind of putting you on the spot here. I want to have you back and talk about successful membership communities, because I'm so intrigued now that you've been talking about this membership community that you have. I know that so many of our listeners are super interested. So I would love to have you back and talk about that in the future. And I think tying this conversation into that membership community would be super, super fun as a next step.
Well, I would love to talk about that. I am happy to nerd out about communities too.
Tell us really quickly where we can find more about you, listen to your podcast, and all of things.
Sure. So you can find the What Works podcast on any of your favorite podcast players. I listen on Apple Podcasts and on Overcast. You can find our website at explorewhatworks.com. And then my podcast production company is called Yellow House Media, and we're at yellowhouse.media.
Awesome. Thanks, Tara, so much for being with us today.
Thank you.